Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic, and we've got a great topic for you tonight. I'm looking forward to jumping in and getting into the topic. My co-host, Sam Bradley, is going to be joining us about halfway through the show tonight or so. She's running a few minutes late. Wrapped up working on some other segments that we're going to have bringing to you in future episodes with her department. And so stay tuned for her to come in, and maybe we can even find out a little teaser from her of what she was working on. But in the meantime, I'm real excited to have Jim Logan back with us from the Memphis Fire Department. Jim and Paragon Medical Education Group, of course, as well. Jim, it's great to have you here, and we don't get you on the show as often as we get Joe on here, but what I like is when you come on, you've really got some great stuff to talk about, and tonight's no different. So how you been?
We're doing okay. You know, we've been dealing with some flooding issues here in the southeast United States. We were hit with a pretty good storm system that kind of stalled over the top of us the end of last week. And we had some flash flooding, so we kind of had some issues going on here. Had to activate our emergency operations center, disaster coordination centers within Memphis and the surrounding areas. So, but we got through it, sheltered some people, did some mass care, did some debris management and some emergency management, and are pressing on.
You know, it's been I guess you could call it a weather-rich environment recently, this time of year, with the flooding in the southeast and south-central parts of the United States. We have the continued drought and wildfires in California and other parts of the West Coast. And then we have still hurricane season, and there's a hurricane that was spinning up into Mexico at the time we were recording this. But there's a lot going on. And in the midst of all of that, and the topic we're going to be addressing tonight is how local governments are leveraging newer forms of communication, most notably social media outlets, to communicate with the public. And Jim, this is something you guys have been doing in Memphis for a while, really trying to institute and expand what you can do with social media. There's a lot of people that are concerned about what goes out and comes in on social media as too much information. But in the situation of getting disaster information out to the public, it really can be a very powerful tool. Why don't you give us a little overview of what you guys are doing in your area?
Well, about a year ago, I took a class through FEMA, and I was just trying to pull up what the course title was. It's, I believe it's Social Media in Disasters. And it's a fairly new FEMA course. And it got me really to thinking, and as you were giving the intro, I was kind of intrigued on how you and I really first met. And it was Dallas at EMS World. I guess that's probably been, Jamie, 7 or so years ago.
Yeah, about that. I'd say 6 or 7 years ago, definitely.
Maybe longer. And so I got invited to this social event about social media, and it had really just taken off. And it feels like we've had, you know, Facebook forever, but some of us didn't jump on that bandwagon until later. You guys were early adopters of that, and using it as a platform, if you will, for information. And I was like, these guys are nuts. I don't know if this stuff will last or work, but hey, let's go eat some hot wings and drink a beer and talk about it. So I got intrigued with it, and you know, it's kind of hooked me ever since. So thank you for that, and you know, folks like you and Chris Kaiser, Ted Setla, Justin Shore, all those early adopters of social media, Sam, of course, Bradley, who will join us in a little bit. But I took this class last year about social media and disasters. And it got me really to thinking, and what was a really powerful, and the listeners probably already know this, you know, I'm closer to 50 than I am 40. So I'm a late adopter of all this stuff, if you will. But they know this stuff works very well, and information travels very, very, very fast. one of the slides that, and one of the PowerPoint presentations, actually a video, showed an overlay of the earthquake that happened a couple years ago in Virginia, close to D.C. And the video showed, and you can pull this up on YouTube as well, the video showed the seismic wave, how fast the seismic wave moved out across the United States. Of course, we track those things. So it went all the way to, you could see it going all the way out down from Virginia to Florida, to the southeast, up north to Canada, and out west towards the Midwest. And they overlaid a another wave, and that wave was the Twitter wave. And it outran the seismic wave to California in 80 seconds. What that meant was people in California knew about the earthquake, right, as breaking news before the news could even jump on it. And it went out to the West Coast from the East Coast in less than 80 seconds. So it's a powerful information tool. So I know we struggle, like you said, about, you know, policy and procedures within our departments and our agencies about, you know, the use of Facebook, the use of Twitter, the use of social media, period, you know, when it's concerning work. Popular term is Facebook is the devil in some circles, and it can be. You know, a lot of people are very opinionated when they sit behind the keyboard, and they say a lot of things that shouldn't be said, and maybe some information that shouldn't be let out. And certainly, you know, there have been cases across the United States where people have posted, you know, even pictures and videos that should not have ever been on there, and discipline has been handed down. And I know some administrators are probably shying away from the use of social media, but it can be, if used correctly, it can be a very powerful information tool to reach not only your internal customers, like your partners and your relationships that you have built within your emergency management, or your world, or your fire department, or your EMS world, but it also can be a powerful information tool to your followers externally. And what I mean by that is, my responsibility now with my department is managing our emergency management program, and so what this means is I can either retweet or I can get feeds to by Facebook or Twitter using Hootsuite, right? To our local news media saying, hey, I'm available to go, you know, on air and make a statement about X and so, or they can reach me and say, hey, can you get on TV and talk about, you know, the ice storm, or can you talk about the flooding that just recently happened, or the straight line winds? You can do that, and you can get messages out to your public. Another good platform that we use is we use it to notify our community emergency response team members, our CERT members. So it's a good way to mobilize those folks as well. And it's free. So
yeah, it's incredibly valuable. And I think you made a distinction in talking about, you know, concerns and policies and procedures. There should be a distinction that we make between an official social media channel, such as a department's official channel, and the individual personal social media channels of members of a response organization or fire department or what have you. And, you know, there should be policies and procedures in place with how they are responsible with their use of social media regarding official business. But and there should be some policies with how the department responds on social media and their official channels. But it, as you said, it is such a valuable and nearly instantaneous tool for communication to the public. I remember back, and this is early days of Twitter, but when they had the blizzards that hit the East Coast 4 or 5 years ago, and they were back-to-back snowstorms where we had about nearly 4 feet of snow on the ground here in central Maryland, which was unheard of. I mean, we just don't get that much snow at one time. It usually melts in between snowfalls here. And I remember following my local police department's Twitter feed because the chief was putting out information regarding the state's state of emergency for the roads and who could and couldn't be right. traveling on the roads at the given time because they had a state of emergency in place. And I couldn't get that information on the news or the TV because it just wasn't in the news cycle at that moment. But by going and looking at their Twitter feed, they were updating that and regularly refreshing that information on their Twitter feed so that I was able to nearly instantly through them find the information I needed to know on whether or not my wife should or shouldn't be getting out on the road and trying to get to work. And so this information can be transmitted from a local official department resource to the community in such a way that that really couldn't be done before. It's really incredibly powerful. But I have a question for you. Do you also use it as a two-way communication tool? In other words, do you find that this is a way for you to find information about what's going on in real time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you know, we connect with you know, the Department of Transportation, WeatherNets, the National Weather Service. Absolutely. So we use it to get, and that's what I was referring to when we can, you know, we get things from WeatherWire, but we also get feeds from you know, Twitter feeds from the National Weather Service, who we follow, and so we're able to pop that out to the public that may not have a weather radio. And one thing that to keep in mind is, where we are geographically, we have a lot of straight line wind events. We have a lot of tornadoes, that kind of thing. So traditionally, what people have relied on for their early warning system has been the outdoor old civil defense tornado sirens or civil defense sirens. Which, you know, were designed for one thing back in the 60s, but have turned into other warning systems, another source of warning. But people have grown used to that because, you know, in some homes you can still hear them, some homes you cannot. But they are just that, they're outdoor warning systems. And now that most of the population, except for my parents, I think, that still have a flip phone. Most folks have some type of smartphones. I just can't convince mom and dad to make that jump yet. And so that enables you when you're told to take cover, be it by whatever warning, radio, TV, whatever, and you seek shelter in your basement or your tornado shelter, or even, you know, the closet under your stairs or the center of your home away from windows, and the power goes out. Someone in the home usually has battery power left to sustain that phone, and you can get your information through those feeds.
And we took a brief break, folks, to bring Sam Bradley online here. She just got into our recording session, and we wanted to make sure she was in on the discussion. And Sam, we got Jim here, and we're just talking about social media and managing disaster communications and preparedness communications using social media channels. And Jim, you were doing some research while we were waiting for Sam to come online. Did you find out anything about that course?
Yeah, there's a couple there. One that's it's fairly easy to get. They have one that social media FEMA, being they, has a resident delivery. I'm sorry, an offsite delivery course that you can have come to your community. So you could call FEMA about that. But one of the other classes that they have is IS-42. And IS stands for Independent Study. It's through FEMA's Emergency Management Institute. So it's called IS-42, Social Media in Emergency Management. And basically it talks about kind of overviews what we've been discussing about how social media has become a way for informing people internally and externally about disasters. You can take this class online. That's an interactive web-based course through EMI, and it gets you it's about a three-hour length is what it says. It doesn't take that long to get through it, but you do get 0.3 CEUs if you need it.
Excellent. And we'll make sure we have some links to that in the show notes. Jim's going to send me the links so I can provide it for you. And if you're looking for some C's, or maybe you just want to get some more information on how social media can be useful, the federal government's really leading the charge on this. You know, Sam, there's a lot of information out there that is being disseminated through technology. And I know you and I, when we went to the preparedness summit, saw that the federal government's really leading the charge in getting this information out and about how to use technology effectively to help people be more prepared, and during an actual event to spread information on services, resources, and emergency instructions using apps, using social media, using all kinds of things with regard to modern technologies, and really trying to stay at the forefront of that. You agree?
Yeah, and I've been, my wheels are turning trying to remember all these people we talked to, because there were a lot of amazing things we learned about that neither you or I previously knew. There's a lot of like SMS text groups that are being used on all different levels, whether it's local, regional, state, or even federal. That obviously would work with a smaller group. One of the things we have with our fire department is this emergency notification system, which interestingly comes out of Tennessee. So when that number comes up, I'm wondering if it wasn't one of these guys, but it's just, right. God, there's so many different ways. And in terms of apps, I remember talking to the folks from SAMHSA, who have this great app on psychological first aid. And as we have discussed many times, that's always an issue when you're on a deployment, even for your own people or for the public. But I've looked at that. I have that on my phone. In fact, I should look on my phone and see all of the ones I have on there, because a lot of them are really amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what's available for us out there. And I really think that it encourages people to be more connected. One of the things, Jim, you were talking about earlier, and I wonder what you do and with regard to spreading the word about your social media channels to the public, and getting people to sign up to follow your social media channels. What do you do to get that done?
Well, I think that the best answer for you is to say that we just. Initially, we started out just kind of trying to put it out there. And I'll be honest with you, I reached out to one of our local universities here and hired an intern in marketing and social media. And it was a great way. And if we're all challenged with our budgets right now, but these young people are looking for an opportunity to get credit for their master's or their PhD in their field of study. So it's a good resource. And what that person did for us was able to increase our had great ideas for a way to boost our following. And one of the things was to follow other folks in public safety who are connected, I'm connected to you, you're connected to Sam. It just grows that way. The other thing was just when we go out to schools, when we go out to career days, when we go out to the presentations like Emergency Preparedness Day. We have things like that at the zoo and throughout the community and neighborhoods in the Memphis and Shelby County area. We always have something on the table. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. And people are hungry for that thing, because that's kind of where we live these days. So, of course, you can buy the thing on Facebook and I guess Twitter to increase your followings. But just having someone to maintain it on a daily basis is valuable, because somebody that's familiar with that. So it may be a PIO that's with your city, PIO that's with your agency, EMS, or fire or law enforcement or whatever discipline that you're in. That PIO may be the person to kind of manage that, because it is a media outlet.
Sam, you had a thought?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I do that. I got kind of two lives, my EMS disaster life and my writing life. And I actually do some social media for some of the writers groups I'm in. And over time, I've established over 3,000 Facebook friends, but they're not arbitrary people. They're either people in EMS or people in writing or people that I actually have some kind of relationship with. And that's really nice. If I'm writing something or I need some input from somebody, I just throw it out there and I get a lot of feedback from people. And what I was thinking about too, when you were talking to Jim about letting people know, a lot of people have these little icons at the bottom of their emails. I notice this is true with a lot of writers where they have all of their different Pinterest, Twitter, Google Plus, Facebook, all these little common accounts, all the, you know, the photo accounts, if that's relevant. And then you just pick on any of these icons and you can go to those places. And writers are often asking other writers to, you know, like their sites on Facebook. And so that's just, that's kind of more of an internal communication, but it really does work. And it's a great way to reach people. And like you said, if you have a good cadre of folks on your social media that are public safety, that are disaster people, you ask a question, you're going to get a lot of good input and you're going to get a lot of good resource information.
And that's the social part of it, Jim. You know, I mean, it's like you said, by reaching out and finding like-minded people, you start spreading the word about your resources that way. And then you're able to eventually continue to grow out into the public itself by result of that connection that all of these other individuals have. And it really is kind of exciting to watch it grow. I'm sure you've seen that over the last year or so.
Right. And not only does it's beneficial as far as getting information out, it helps you with your positive public image. I know when we first started this discussion, we talked about policy and procedure and Facebook and, you know, people that, you know, think that aren't on Facebook because of, you know, some negative posting that someone put on there or whatever, just got off of it. But it can be a valuable tool in our world for keeping those folks connected and finding out that information.
And what's interesting too is if I have Jim sends me something I think is important to a lot of people, I put it out to 3,000 plus people. And how many other of those people have groups that size that then send it out? I mean, if you really think about it mathematically, that can reach hundreds of thousands of people in no time if everybody gets behind that.
And you see that.
It's very much.
Go ahead, Jim.
It's very much like what we're doing now with the podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, podcasts have been out there for some time. You know, some folks are early adopters, like we discussed before. But, you know, we're able to connect with a lot of other groups than just disaster people. We connect with EMS. Enforcement and it's amazing, you know, when, you know, we look at the stats of how many folks that we're reaching from downloads. It's incredible.
Well, and you take like Twitter makes it so easy because every time one of you guys, and Jamie does this every week, when he puts up a new podcast, he tweets it out. I get it on my email that he tweeted, and from my email, I can just retweet it. I don't even have to go to Twitter. They make it that simple. So then it goes out to all my people. I mean, they make it so easy. Plus, they give you reports. I don't know if you guys get them, but I get a report every week on what tweets got noticed and how many people actually viewed them. And that's really valuable information.
Well, and it gives you a sense of your reach, and I think that's something maybe we can, as we start to wind down this episode, but we can talk a little bit about how you can measure the return on investment, so to speak. You know, obviously, it's not a monetary thing for a public agency, but you can still get an idea through the metrics of how many retweets there were, how many followers you have. And you can get that information and you can show real impact and communication to a segment of your population through using these tools in a way that, you know, just broadcasting over a radio channel or even just sending out a siren alert from an audible alarm in a community, you don't have a sense of how many people were reached, but you can get a sense of how many people were reached via social media channels because of the way that you can track that information.
A perfect perfect example for us as far as something that's non-emergent but getting information out so that, that will, you know, because misinformation is just, you know, can be bad too, right? So you can control rumor. And like I said, we use the outdoor siren system here for tornadoes, and we have to test them from time to time. We usually test them on a certain day at a certain time every week. But, you know, when we're doing maintenance on those sirens, we have to do them at other times. Now, we certainly don't test them on overcast days, but I can put out a tweet, and we do. Before we go out and test a siren, not on a testing day, if we're out, you know, doing maintenance, we'll put something out on using Hootsuite, which manages, you know, all your social media devices, platforms. And so we put something out warning the public that, you know, we're testing a siren in a certain section of the city. And that gets retweeted, like Sam did, to other people who's tied into the local news outlets. So they tweet that out, and actually it's real time. So they actually, if they're on air, they'll go ahead, they'll make a statement right now. We just received, you know, through social media, a tweet from the Office of Emergency Management with the City of Memphis. They're testing sirens, and don't be alarmed. There's no need for alarm. There's no inclement weather right now. So it's very useful.
And you mentioned Hootsuite. We should say, for those that don't understand what that is, it's actually a separate application or tool that you can use via the web to manage multiple social media accounts. So if you want to send a single message to several Twitter accounts and your Facebook account and these things, you can use a program or an application on the web like Hootsuite to manage that through your Hootsuite account, which manages all your other accounts for you. And there's apps like Hootsuite. There's apps like there's another one called BufferApp.com that is also one I use a lot to manage multiple accounts and send information out. And all of these allow you to schedule specific things, be posted at certain times during the course of a week, if you have regular updates that you want to send out. But it also allows you to send out information immediately if you need to do so as well. So I just wanted to kind of bring that up, that that's something that's out there for you to use when Jim mentions it. There are lots of tools like that out there, and I know that we'd all like to keep talking about this and how we can use those tools. But, you know, maybe the best way to do that is to wrap up this episode and encourage you to follow us and keep up with what we're doing on this show and others like it, and especially connecting with our friends over at Paragon Medical Education Group. And, Jim, thanks a lot for bringing your expertise on the show tonight to talk about social media and the tools we use to get information out there. Do you want to share with us a little bit about how we can get in touch with you if folks want to find out a little bit more about what you're doing with social media or what Paragon has to offer for specific training and management of disasters in their communities?
Yeah, sure. That'll be great. I guess the easiest way is you could go to our website. It's paragonmedicalgroup.com. And from there, you can be directed to our Twitter feed, Facebook account, and LinkedIn.
And it's all right there on their page, easy to find. There's easy to recognize icons there. Of course, if you want to go to them directly, you can find them over at Twitter under Paragon Med EDU. And on your Facebook, under Paragon Medical Education Group. So if you want to go directly to those sites, you can do that as well. And we'll have as always, links to all this in our show notes for this episode. Jim, you know, we could keep talking about this, I think, for quite some time, and maybe we'll have to revisit this topic in a future episode. But thanks a lot for coming on the show tonight.
Oh, I appreciate it. I think it's just such an important topic to talk about how to inform and warn not only the public, but you know, your internal customers, your partners, and your relationships that you have in disaster and emergency management.
Sir, a final thought you'd like to offer to somebody that maybe hasn't gone the route of setting up a a Facebook or a Twitter account for their organization that they might want to consider doing that?
But I would encourage you to if you haven't already set it up, if you have any reservations because you've been hit by someone in your apartment or your agency that hasn't been as responsible as they should have, and you struggle with developing policy and procedure. Like Jamie was saying, you can control your own organizational group page and create policy and procedure for it, how it's to be used and how it's not to be used. So I think just kind of open your mind a little bit. If you've been burned before with social media, it's a great tool if used properly.
Sam, where can folks find you on social media and other places?
Yes, speaking of social media, but you know what I was just thinking is, there's some things going on that made me actually think there could be a deployment in the offing. And if that happens, any one of the three of us, besides Jamie, he's our stable at home person, could be on a deployment. And how would we communicate with each other? This is a great topic. I think it's something we need to talk about some more because there's so much more to talk about. But I'm usually found under Sam Bradley, Sam Bradley 11 in some places, and most certainly on the disasterpodcast.com website, where I hope someday you will come up and visit and tell us what you think and tell us what you'd like us to talk about.
Yeah, and that's most important, I think, Sam, and thanks for bringing that up, because when you head over to disasterpodcast.com, you bring up our episodes, and each episode has its own little article page, but at the bottom of each article page is a place where you can leave a comment, and those comments email me whenever a comment comes in, and we respond back to those comments, and myself, Jim, Sam, Joe Holly, the rest of the team, other guests that we have on the show have all responded back to those comments to give you answers to questions, to point you in directions, to respond to things you might have had to say. So leave a comment over on the Disaster Podcast site at the bottom of any of the articles there. Let us know what you want to hear more about and what you like and don't like. And we will get back to you. We respond back to those comments. And it's your avenue to reach out to us and tell us of topics you want us to cover in future episodes, topics you want us to revisit for future episodes, and even those topics you never want to hear us do again. We're open to anything. But I do want to respond back and let you know that is your opportunity to help be part of the community here at Disaster Podcast. I'm Jamie Davis. You can find me under the handle PodMedic in most locations on social media. So if you're looking for me, please friend or follow me in most all of the social media locations under PodMedic. And in the meantime, you can always find me, Sam, and the rest of the gang over at disasterpodcast.com, where we cover all kinds of topics having to do with preparedness, with response to disasters, and with helping you be better prepared to help serve your community when disaster strikes. And Sam, we didn't talk much about medicine in this, but even in social media, there's some things that are not quite the same in disaster response as compared to other things.
It's all part of the whole, because disaster medicine is not your everyday medicine.